Hello, Mike here. Today's podcast is something a little different. This weekend, I was honoured to attend this year's British Film Designers Guild Awards to speak to some of the very decorated production designers nominated. I managed to get a little time with the likes of six-time Oscar nominee Sarah Greenwood, who attended the awards with her recent film Cyrano, James Chinland there for The Batman, Luke Hull with Star Wars' Andor, Jim Clay with House of the Dragon, and our second Lamont to grace the show, Neil Lamont, who was nominated for Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore. Yes, it's a pretty crazy list, I know. Naturally, I wasn't sitting down in 30-minute stints with these guys to go through their full careers at an awards event, but I did manage to get a few quick-fire questions in, largely centering around how to make it in the art department. I'm sure they'll be on the show in the future to dig into their full stories. But for now, that's enough from me. Here we go. Hello and welcome to Red Carpet Rookies. My name is Mike Battle, a film crew member turned screenwriter working in London. Each episode, I bring you life lessons and stories from the people behind your favourite movies and shows to help demystify the business for aspiring filmmakers and fans alike. Thanks for joining me. Let's get started. Today's guests are, well, a decent number of the world's greatest set designers, and my first port of call was Mr. Luke Hull, where we began discussing what he looks for in juniors trying to get a job in his art department and whether he likes to ask them any specific questions in interviews.
That's a really good question. And actually, there is something that I make sure I ask every single person, who I've met before, who's coming in to interview, usually as an art department assistant, to be fair, because that's sort of a starting position. And it probably puts them on the spot, but I always ask them what they want to do, where they want to go, because it's not always clear cut. It's not like, oh, you're going to be a designer. There's a huge plethora of jobs throughout the art department and beyond. And so it's just good to get a sense of what direction they think they want to go in, so we can start to kind of actually help train them, because I think we're not as good as we should be at training
sure. New
talent.
Okay, no, I really like that answer. And I imagine they're coming to this interview with a portfolio. What is it going through your head that they might not necessarily know when you're looking through that? And is that these days, is it handwritten? Is it on a computer? What are we talking about?
To be honest, portfolios I glance at. My supervising art director would probably be more hot on, like, you know, drawing skills and things like this. And again, it depends on what kind of job they're coming in for. I'm usually more keen on finding out about them, what they want to do. I mean, the portfolio is useful because it gives you a good sense of the person's work or their skill set or whatever. But ultimately, I suppose, as a designer, I'm always looking for ideas in the portfolio. A lot of work comes in that's like, people have to learn to draw, but it's a lot of the same drafting images and things like that, which is useful to see skill. But for me, I'm always looking for something else that says a little bit more about the person and their ambition or their ideas or their imagination as well. Because, it's not just for me all about that, but I think Toby, my supervisor I'm working with at the moment, might have a slightly different view, because obviously it depends. I mean, if someone's coming in to be a draftsperson, then obviously their drawings in their portfolio is hugely important. But even as an art department assistant, it's good to get a sense of where they're at, whether that be hand drawing, CAD, 3D modelling. I mean, usually we try and get a sense of, usually people will show a range of skills. And then you don't really know, though, from a portfolio what you're getting into. So, like, on a long job like Andor, like, for example, you can start to understand people's strengths and also pair them with art directors or whatever who can help them out on their weaker areas.
Absolutely. And thank you for that very nice answer. And as a final question for you, Luke, today, I'd love to know, you're one of the younger designers I speak to. I speak to a lot of very established older people in their 80s sometimes on the podcast, like Peter Lamont and Stuart LeCraig. So you might be a little bit more hooked into what art schools people go to these days. And is there any institutions perhaps that you went to or that you know of that are places that people can look to apply to as somewhere that you would think that's a good place? I would think of that as in high regard.
So I'm a bit of an anomaly in that sense, because I went to film school because I just knew I wanted to make films.
Sure.
So I actually first thought I wanted to be a DOP, so I trained in the camera.
Interesting.
And I ran and did commercials and various things. And I think actually that's the thing that makes me, be able to do my job very well is that actually story comes first. So it's not necessarily like, oh, go to this school or this school. I don't actually have a great handle on that, because I think ultimately people will seek out what interests them, because you shouldn't force it on. Because, I mean, I employ people from fine art backgrounds, from theatre design backgrounds, from architecture backgrounds, which, I mean, is a great route, particularly architecture, if you're coming to be a draftsperson or an art director. But then, like, you've got people in the set deck department and people in graphics who come from graphic design backgrounds. So it's really varied. But I'd say if you want to be a designer, I don't know where you should go, but I did do a production design MA at the NFTS, which really helped me. But I went to film school before that and made films before that. So for me, it was a good grounding in, like, grammar and how to make a movie and story and what comes first and how to work with other people to do that. And that's always still comes first before I even, like, draw something. So that's honestly the only advice I can give, I suppose, and based on my trajectory.
Which, funnily enough, brings a lovely circularity to our conversation today, because it goes back to your first point about when someone comes in, what do you look for? What do they want to do? It goes back to your point that you've made there.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Thank you very much today.
Thank you.
That institution question is one that comes up a lot, so I decided to ask it to all of this episode's esteemed guests, the second of which being House of the Dragon designer, Jim Clay.
Now, to kick us off, of course, we've got to talk about House of the Dragon. And I was wondering, when you moved on to a project like this, I like to ask the big deals, like yourself, Jim, do you have a little bit of imposter syndrome? Is it nerve-wracking to move on to such a big franchise, obviously based off of Game of Thrones? What did you think when that email came through? Potentially the pressure, or maybe not. Maybe you're a still man.
I think it's undoubtedly nerve-wracking. I think, you know, we stepped rather tentatively, I have to say, into some very big successful shoes after Game of Thrones. So I think every new project is a little bit nerve-wracking, but this was especially so.
Absolutely. And when you're crewing up for something like this, obviously you're piecing together your supervising art director, but also some younger people. When they're coming into you, what is it that you're looking for? Obviously, you sit atop the department. I know the supervising art director often is the one actually hiring. But when you're trying to put together that team, what is it that you're looking for in the younger people? I'll let it just be that, and I'll let you take it.
I think we're looking for enthusiasm, an absolute passion for the business of filmmaking. Obviously, we're looking for people who are going to have those technical skills, because obviously they have to make their way up from art department assistant into junior draft and draftsperson, etc., etc. But I'm always looking for somebody who has a little bit of artistic flair, who can see their future ahead of them, where they want to go, and I encourage them always to draw and sketch as well as be able to do technical drawing. I think it's the most wonderful thing to be able to draw and sketch and relieve some of the tensions of the day. I always think a sketch a day keeps the doctor away.
Very good. Okay, because I was going to ask you, obviously House of Dragon has a lot of VFX, lots of computer-generated imagery and artwork. It's still crucial for them to be learning how to draw on a board. Is that correct, Jim?
It's absolutely correct. You know, the drawings are our instructions to the workshops, and without good quality drawings, construction, you know, don't know what they're building. So it is the language between me, production designer, and the workshops, and the art department, the draftspeople, art directors. They convey my dreams into reality.
That's a lovely thing to have as a job, Jim.
It is a nice job, and I'm blessed with a regular art department. We try to keep a regular flow of young people coming through, but I have Dominic Masters, supervising art director, Claire Richards, set decorator, so I'm fortunate in that.
Lovely stuff. And as a final question, before you get back to drinking the free wine at the BFTG Awards, I'd like to ask you, this is a bit of a specific one, but lots of people often ask this podcast, basically, what sort of places to apply to? And in the sense of, like, set design courses, I know a lot of people do theatre design. Perhaps what was your course that you did? Or is there somewhere, you know, Wimbledon College of Art or something like that you would think of as, that's a classy place to hear someone's applied to? Because often people don't know.
Personally, I came from architecture, and I was training as an architect. And then I found a job at the BBC in their art department. And they were a wonderful organisation for developing career paths for everybody. Sadly, that doesn't exist anymore. Dom and I take people from the National Film School a lot, still some people from architecture, and but the National Film School, it used to be Kingston, sadly no longer a course at Kingston, but I think you can come in through many ways, and you don't even have to have done those courses. If you have a passion for design, and you can show an ability to draw and imagine the worlds that we want to create, there's a place for you.
Beautiful answer. I really thank you for that. And thank you for your time today, Jim.
My pleasure. Thanks.
After Jim mentioned his time at the BBC training, I had to ask if he'd met Red Carpet Rookies Episode 7 alumni and Lord of the Rings production designer Grant Major, who also trained there at the same time. And he had, which made me smile. Sadly, we didn't have time to talk about it that day, but that was only due to the exciting news that the Batman designer James Chinland had entered the building. I began asking him about how he works with longtime collaborator Matt Reeves and how younger filmmakers can do the same in their work.
Well, I feel especially blessed in my collaboration with Matt. I mean, I think this is our third movie together, and he came in on Dawn for the Planet of the Apes. I had started with a different director. He replaced that director and came in and was rewriting as we went, which really established the baseline for us. I was able to design sets as he was writing, so we were able to hit the ideas back and forth, and I could suggest things, and it just worked really, really well. So we've carried that on through the next two movies together. Again, very fortunate, and it's a sort of unique thing to be able to be in that early with the director as they're breaking ground on story. And so, you know, I feel especially lucky to in the way we work together. And Greg Fraser, you know, has a very close and intimate relationship with Matt. So it's been really a super tight team and a dream to be able to work in that way.
Lovely. And of course, it paid off. But I'd also like to say that, you know, you obviously came across the pond for this film. You're from New York originally, is that correct?
New York via LA now, yes.
Exactly. And you were in London to film The Batman, of course. I actually spoke to the casting director about building an American world in London. But I'd love to ask about how you went about putting together an art department and what you would look for in people, because you're obviously in a new place. I'm not sure how much you've worked here before. But what is it that you're looking for piecing together that team, particularly maybe the younger ones?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Batman was an especially technical film. I mean, I think I had just come off The Lion King, where I learned a lot about virtual reality and those production tools. And I think and Matt was quite keen to embrace those. We were using the LED screen, you know, and the volume, which Greg, you know, is breaking ground on. So we knew it was going to be a tech heavy show. And I think our primary, you know, hunt was to find people that were savvy with those tools. And I would suggest to any young person coming in, there's an amazing opportunity right now as these tools are being developed to learn these programs, Unreal Engine and basically any 3D software. But I really do recommend Unreal as a way of kind of jumping some steps and getting deep into the art department. I mean, we had very junior people that were working side by side with Matt as he was storyboarding on our set. So all the sets we developed digitally, and then Matt would go into those spaces in VR and explore, and we could make changes, and then he'd start blocking scenes and actually previs the whole movie in that space. So watching some of these young people sitting right next to a director who's designing scenes for the Batman, I mean, it was an incredible opportunity for them.
That is really cool and really good advice. I think, yeah, it's a burgeoning industry and something to get into. Do you think that it's maybe making it harder for people to learn with a pencil? Do you still need that as much?
I think the pencil is equivalently as valuable. I think, I think it's really important to have both sides. I think the computer is sort of limiting in terms of the fluidity of the line and things like that. So pencils have a very important and precious place in my team, and it's a dying art. So I think in a certain way, people are all turning to this technology. But I think if you have a aptitude for hand drafting, there's real space for that as well. And I think in a way, it could wind up being more valuable in the long run. But I do think the way the world is turning, I think Well, that's the beauty of an art department, is that you need everybody. You know, you need sculptors and hand draftsmen and computer savvy people. I mean, you know, I think we're really looking for a super diverse team when we build a team for something like the Batman. So I think everyone's got a place.
Thank you. And as a final question, the main question I get asked largely about people wanting to get into the art department is, they don't really know necessarily whether they need to go to film school. Do they do set design or somewhere, or they do theatre design? Is there somewhere that you went, perhaps your background in a little short way, and maybe there's somewhere that you want to shout out that you went to in New York, perhaps, or LA, that some people could look at, because we have worldwide listeners?
Well, I mean, I think they're, you know, the beauty of the art department, I always say it's sort of like the circus takes all comers. I think as long as you have a passion for it, I think there's infinite number of ways to get in. You can come in as a graphic designer, or maybe you have computer skills, or maybe you're a sculptor. I mean, the beauty of it to me is if you're ready to work hard and push the skills that you have, I think there's a way to sort of shape shift your way into the heart of the art department. I think it really just comes down to drive. Obviously, there are amazing programs. The Art Directors Guild in LA has an apprenticeship program that's a beautiful sort of feeder in, and AFI has an amazing production design program. But I also think, like, it's really about just finding out what's shooting near you and trying to figure out a way to make yourself useful and just get at it, you know, and work hard and look for those opportunities, because a lot of it is just about relationships and sort of like bringing as much passion as you can to and dedication as you can to the work and making friends and sort of building from there.
That was a brilliant answer. Be a shapeshifter. I think I'm going to keep that one. Thank you very much for your time today, Joe.
Pleasure. Thank you.
To shapeshift away from that lovely chat with James, our next stop was with Neil Lamont, who was nominated at the awards for Fantastic Beasts: Secrets of Dumbledore. We began talking about a very special previous episode of Red Carpet Rookies. Very happy to be here today with the one and only Mr. Neil Lamont. Thank you for giving us a bit of time today, Neil.
Good evening.
Of course, we interviewed your father before on the podcast, which was one of the proudest things I've ever done, I would say.
Oh, bless him. Yeah, I've listened to that many times and still listen to it whenever I can, whenever I need a little bit of fortification.
That means a lot to me. That's really lovely, Neil. And of course, we're here today because of The Secrets of Dumbledore, which I believe is the first time you've shared the credit with the one and only Stuart Craig. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was Stuart's supervising art director on all of the Harry Potter movies. And so, sort of, for me, doing the co-designership on The Secrets of Dumbledore has been the most amazing coming of age for me, really, delicate age of 60.
Amazing. And this is a big question. I don't expect you to give all of them, but in terms of things that you learnt from your collaboration with Stuart, is there something that comes to mind, Neil?
Oh, heavens, he's taught me so much. I suppose the biggest thing that he's taught me, really, out of everything, is to stand back and think. Don't jump to sort of instant conclusions or judgments when you're under pressure to do that. I remember we've done so much together. I remember being in the desert on The English Patient, and the director saying, "Oh, I want the shadow of the plane flying over the dunes to get bigger. We'll get him to fly 50 feet lower." And Stuart looked at them and went, "The sun is 90 million miles away. 100 feet will have absolutely no, it will make no difference. Forget it. But then everything else that we've done together, step back, breathe, and regroup and think.
Lovely answer. One of the questions I'd like to ask you specifically is that a lot of people, obviously, as you know, are young who listen to this, and there are different routes into, millions of different routes into the film industry and the art department. And particularly because there's a big industry in the UK these days, you obviously worked your way largely through a lot of the huge Harry Potter movies. But there's also other people like James we spoke to today, James Chinland, who did smaller movies, became a production designer, and then sort of moved on from that. What's your opinion on that? And maybe someone out there who's looking to get into the industry, would you recommend that apprenticeship model, or maybe just getting stuck in, or a bit of both?
I think the UK model tends to be that apprenticeship and working your way through in stages through the art department, through all the various different grades, which is what I did, which is what my dad did, which is, I think, mainly what the majority of UK-based production designers actually have done. James, obviously being American. Thank you. I think they have a lot more opportunity out there in America because there tends to be a lot more on offer to be done and to be dealt with. And I have always thought that I have always thought actually that if I had moved and gone to America earlier in my career, which I'll never do now, it's too late for that, I may have become a production designer earlier in my career rather than having sort of served a very long sort of 20-year apprenticeship as a supervising art director.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that about the American thing. That's really cool. And as a final question, because I know you want to get back to the dinner, which is about to start here at the BFDG Awards, I'd love to ask you one of the main questions we get asked, which is younger people often wonder where to apply almost. Should they apply to do set design? I know I used to work for Sonia Klaus, who did theatre design. Is there somewhere that you see on a CV and you think, oh, that's a quality place in the UK that you recommend? Or perhaps, you know, you didn't do that. You worked very much on the ground on your way up.
Yeah, I literally came, I left school after doing my GCSEs and I went to college and I did what was called an ordinary national diploma in those days, the equivalent of A-levels in building construction. And nowadays, there's far more courses offered by university. So many, I wouldn't try to deter anybody from going to university, to be perfectly honest. I would go to university. There's lots of incredible film courses, Nottingham, Trent, of course, Kingston, and you've got the master's degree at the NFTS. They're amazing. So it's really important to finish your educations. Of course, there is one case regarding education, and that's Ellie Scales, who is now an art director and a very experienced art director, and she's also a mum, of course. She actually decided not to go to university, and she was actually our babysitter, and she became our archivist on Harry Potter 3 as well. And she worked her way into the department from that sort of age of 18. And so that's really still a very good route to take. But of course, at that point, you're also up against a greater number of people who are coming out of uni who actually maybe then have more experience to jump into that assistant art department assistant role. So I would say, yeah, stick with the uni role if you can be bothered to pay back the 27 grand at the end of it.
Thank you for that excellent answer and that very specific example. And not a full Red Carpet Rookies, but thank you, Neil, for our little bite-sized Red Carpet Rookies today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
I always love chatting to Neil, but time was ticking until our window for interviews was closing. So I had one more person on the list to track down. Uber-talented wizard of both period and modern set design, Sarah Greenwood. Like many of the others interviewed, she has fostered long relationships and collaboration in her career, most notably with Joe Wright. So we began there.
I mean, it's interesting. So, you know, the most amazing thing is to find the person that you absolutely kind of gel with. And for me, I was lucky enough to meet Joe 25 years ago now. Yes, names, numbers. But so meeting somebody that you absolutely click with, and Joe was fantastic. And it's kind of like, so my thing, my advice would be, is you say yes to everything. It might be, you know, a video, a pop video, a, you know, film school, film, whatever. Just say yes to everything, and you never know, you might just meet that person that you're going to absolutely gel with.
And I guess there's also an element of perhaps taste, because if you look back at you guys, your back catalogue, and, you know, Serena as well, there's an element, obviously there's the period element to it all. You clearly share, you get on well over a pint, if that makes any sense. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. You know, but also, here's another shout out for collaboration. I mean, I work very closely with Katie Spencer, who's a set decorator. And I've worked with her for even longer than Joe and Seamus and whatever. And, you know, that's like having another eyes and ears on it. And, you know, it gives you a certain bravery. So, you know, I would recommend that you have a friend, you have somebody you collaborate with. And, you know, so you know, yeah, I mean, Joe and I, I suppose the closest thing I will describe with Joe is, you know, he's like my, you know, he's amazing, but he is like my little brother. So, sure. You know, we have a very kind of quite a passionate relationship, you know. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you for that lovely answer. And so you obviously arrive in Sicily. You need to put together your department. When you've got younger people coming in, because you obviously can't fly over all of the art department assistants in the world, what are you looking for in those people? I'll give it to you in a broad way.
Yeah.
But when you've got an art department assistant coming in, what is it, that tenacity or something or other?
Do you know, I mean, I suppose my thing is, it's a meritocracy, is that, you know, some people are good at some things, some people are good at other things. You know, so I'm a firm believer in, you know, if somebody is fantastic at going out and finding stuff, going out and doing things, that's great. If somebody is a real, like, kind of, you know, kind of intellectual bookworm, then you set them researching. And it's play to your strengths. That's the most important thing, that you kind of, you know, you come in and you do your best at what you're good at. Mm. And for me, that will get you through.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you for that answer. And to bring us to the end here, Sarah, I'd love to ask the main question that I get asked from people in the art department. I previously worked in the art department for a few years. And
you.
it was an interesting time.
Yeah.
Creative people, crazy people as well. But the last thing they ask is often, do I apply to film school? Do I get an apprenticeship? Neil Lamont told me, you know, work your way through the department, perhaps with a little sprinkling of what you did.
Yeah.
Would you recommend, you know, going to Wimbledon College of Art or the NFTS or something like that?
Okay, so that's an interesting one and a complicated one.
Mm.
My thing is that, you know, if you want to kind of get into big film, you know, drafting, hierarchical movement through, then you should absolutely go for something like the NFTS, because, you know, they are an amazing college. They are, you know, they everybody who leaves NFTS is brilliant. But equally, come in at the bottom, find your niche, work your way in. You know, it's not about nobody. I never look at qualifications. I mean, actually, that's not true. I do look at, when I see NFTS, when I see people who've come through past Maura Tate, for example, amazing, amazing tutor, you know, and lots of my team have come through Maura. But, you know, you don't have to have qualifications to achieve things. Mm. So, yeah.
I like that. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, pleasure. Okay.
And that's your lot. Not to toot my own horn, but I'd say that's got to be up there for one of the best pound-for-pound podcast episodes of art department advice out there. What an incredible lineup. I thank them greatly for their time and look forward to catching them hopefully sometime in the future for a full episode. Thank you also to the BFDG for having me and to Victoria Fair for joining me on the day to help record. Until next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of Red Carpet Rookies. To help us grow and be able to interview more amazing film and TV professionals, please do subscribe and drop us a rating on the Apple Podcast Store on your iPhone or online if you're an Android user. If you're interested in regular updates, the best thing you can do is to join our mailing list at redcarpetrookies.com or alternatively, find us on Instagram at redcarpetrookies or Twitter at rcrookiespod. I also tweet regularly about my own learnings in the business at Mike F. Battle on Twitter, so please do come and say hi. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time.